Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our Wednesday night Bible study. We just had a moment of silence for those impacted by COVID and natural catastrophes around the world. Let's remember them in prayer. Tonight, I want to start out with reading one of the prayers from Dangerous Prayers, 50 Powerful Prayers That Changed the World. And I would like to share again, a prayer by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and it's found on page 20. And Bonhoeffer was born in 1906 and was killed in 1945. And I'll start out with the brief bio about him. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a German pastor, theologian, an author known for his resistance to Adolf Hitler and the Nazi regime. He was among a small number of dissidents who worked from the inside to dismantle the Third Reich. Bonhoeffer, a young pastor and speaker when Hitler rose to power, was one of the earliest critics of the Nazi regime. He was among a group of pastors and theologians who launched the Confessing Church, a movement that denounced the infiltration of Nazi ideology in the German evangelical church. During his short lifetime, Bonhoeffer wrote a number of books, including the Christian classics, The Cost of Discipleship, and Life Together. He also pastored several congregations and trained young ministers. Because of Bonhoeffer's outspoken political opinions, he eventually became a person of interest to the Nazi regime. Ultimately, Bonhoeffer was charged with his connections to resistance groups, and he was arrested and taken to a concentration camp, where he spent 2 years before being sentenced to death. He was executed shortly before the end of the World War II. A decade after Bonhoeffer's death, a doctor who was present at his murder described Bonhoeffer's last moments. And it says, prisoners were taken from their cells and the verdicts of court-martial read out to them. Through the half-open door in one room of the hut, I saw Pastor Bonhoeffer. Before taking off his prison garb, kneeling on the floor, praying fervently to his God. I was most deeply moved by the way this lovable man prayed, so devout and so certain that God heard his prayer. At the place of execution, he again said a prayer and then climbed the steps to the gallows, brave and composed. His death ensued in a few seconds. In the almost 50 years that I have worked as a doctor, I have hardly ever seen a man die so entirely submissive to the will of God. This is Dietrich Bonhoeffer's prayer, written while awaiting execution in a Nazi concentration camp. He prays, restore me to liberty and enable me so to live now that I may answer before thee and before the world. Lord, whatever this day may bring, thy name be praised. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, to live a life in which almost 2 centuries later, we're still talking about him. Let's share, well, repeat after me, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven.
Our Father, who art in heaven.
Hallowed be thy name.
Hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done.
Thy will
be done.
On earth.
On earth.
As it is in heaven.
As it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us this day our daily bread.
And forgive us our trespasses.
And forgive us our trespasses.
As we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation.
And lead us not into temptation.
But deliver us from evil.
But
thine is the kingdom.
For thine is the kingdom.
And the power. And the glory forever.
Amen.
Let me correct that. Bonhoeffer passed in 1945, so it was less than a century. But to live a life in which we're still talking about him. Amen.
Yeah.
So tonight, returning to our disciplines, a book of daily devotions 22, and the book still seems to be prophetic. it's amazing. And God bless the writers, and God bless the editors of this book as well. It's wonderful to read meditations that are right on point. Our title for this week is God Calls Us by John Gooch. And forgive me, Elder Gooch, if I'm messing your last name up. He is a retired elder in the Missouri Conference of the United Methodist Church, former staffer at a Board of Discipleship and the Publishing House of the United Methodist Church. He's an author, historian, and teacher. God bless you, John Gooch. So I'll start with the scripture overview, and then we'll do the reading tonight. It's coming out of Psalm 71, verses 1 through 6. The scripture overview on page 40. The readings from the Hebrew scriptures share a common theme of calling. Jeremiah is called at a young age to be a prophet. God knew and set apart Jeremiah even in the womb. The psalmist also expresses confidence in God's call because God knew him even before he was born. In the same way, God knows each one of us and has a plan for our lives that is not an afterthought. In this 1 Corinthians passage, often read at weddings, Paul speaks of love, but this love is not infatuation, and it is not based on emotion. It is intentional, strong, gritty, and unselfish. In Luke, we see that many struggle with the fact that Jesus' calling is also to serve the marginalized. Jesus reveals that God has a missional. Let's look at what Elder Gooch wrote for today. Psalm 71, verses 1 through 6. We're on page 43 of the devotional tonight. Who would like to read Psalm 71 for us, verses 1 through 6?
I can read it.
All right, Alice. Thank you.
I'm going to be the scripture reader this Sunday. So.
Oh, yes.
And this is from the New International Version, large print edition.
I love when you say that.
Psalm 71. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Rescue me and deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of evil and cruel men. For you have been my hope, O Sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From birth I have relied on you. You have brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you.
Amen.
Did anyone have a different version of that? Let's see. I'm turning to the King James. I have the New Revised Standard Version. There were a couple verses that were a little different. Let me see. I'll read it from the King James Version. Psalm 71, verses 1 through 6. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thy ear unto me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. Verse 6. By thee have I been holding up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. Amen. I like the word choice, bowels, right? that brings in a new visual.
Yeah, I was going to say, they know how birthing worked back then, I guess.
It's a different experience, right? It's coming out of the bowels. That's something. So what did you hear tonight out of those two readings and what you have as well? What stood out to you? What did the Holy Spirit highlight for you?
Oh, for me, it's the lines in verse 3 about how God is his rock, his fortress.
Yes.
Someone that he can always go to.
Amen. Yeah. That stands out to me too. He is my rock and my fortress. Kathy?
Let's see. Well, I guess going to God, he fulfills, you know, every aspect, your for trust, for refuge, for deliverance, from the time you're born, and he'll sustain you. You don't have to worry about being put to shame.
Yes.
And it doesn't mean you'll get all your answers. It doesn't say that here, you know. But he'll be with you always. That's what I got.
And that's such as comfort, even in the midst of things that, and Elder Gooch, as we read his meditation for tonight, we'll talk about that as well. We don't suffer. I'll say it like this. When we suffer, we don't suffer as mere men and women. but if we suffer, we have God as rock. God as protector, as fortress. And I'd like to say it like this: heaven has our back. And I can mm-hmm. turn towards heaven. And when I call for help, I trust and rest in the revelation that heaven hears me and will respond. And whatever that looks like, right, in that moment, we're not alone. And for me, that gives me comfort. Linda, what stands out to you tonight?
Well, you've basically covered it, but also in verse 4, where it says, "Deliver me, O God, from the hand of the wicked." You have confidence that He is there with you always, and to guide you and to help you make the right choices,
mm-hmm.
but to that we have trust in Him, and that's what we need to do. So, but I agree with Alice and Kathy. They said it very well.
Mm-hmm.
And of course you did, but it was very well spoken.
All right. On behalf of Alice and Kathy, thank you. Amen. So let's look at the devotional on page 43, and I'll start reading. As I write in the summer of 2020, the COVID-19 pandemic is at its height. People are getting sick. People are dying. People are losing their jobs. The economy is going in the tank. Above all, people are afraid. We all stay in our homes, hunkered down, wearing masks if we go out for groceries, trips to the pharmacy or to see the doctor. Some people are angry because of closures. Linda, can you read the next two paragraphs?
You remember those times. They may have been better after I wrote this, or they may have become worse. Either way, they left their mark on you. So you can understand the psalmist when he pleads with God for help. Deliver me, the psalmist says. Rescue me. Save me. That's the way we felt too. Help me, God. Deliver us from this pandemic. Don't let me lose my job. Keep my family safe.
Yes. Kathy, can you read the next paragraph for us?
Life is sometimes not the best for either the psalmist or us. But notice one thing. The psalmist never gives up on God. The psalm begins by saying, "In you, O Lord, I take refuge." God is the rock and fortress on whom the psalmist builds his life. God is the source of his hope. Like Job, he cries out to God for help, but never doubts God. From the time of his birth, he has learned to lean on God.
Mm-hmm. And Alice, can you finish for us?
Sure. These were words of hope as I began writing in the middle of a pandemic. God is faithful. God is the source of our hope. God doesn't always answer our prayers the way we want, but God is always present for us. In times of fear, when hope seems absent, when life is not good to us, God sustains us.
Amen.
Yeah.
So what is Elder Gooch saying tonight to us?
Well, I feel that I hear it quite often also, we praise God in the good and the bad times.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to praise him and know that he's with us. And he is faithful, and we need to walk by faith and know he's with us at every step.
Yes. Kathy.
Well, what do you- 2 years, 2 years later, and things are worse from when he wrote in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so worldwide, and it's not just that virus, it's mutations and other viruses are popping up. But there's no answer but God. I mean, you can't even get past that. There's, where can you turn to a scientist or a book or TV or you know, play games or what? Where do you go if you have to turn to God?
Yes.
And just try to get from him all that you need, the peace, the joy, that you're going to be able to laugh some things off when a store is closed. I mean, you know, people work there, but you almost have to chuckle. Well, I knew you weren't going to make it. You know, you were a little store.
Mm-hmm.
And struggling, and we could see it coming. And yeah, it's almost like, is it real, everything? For me, it's too hard to believe that we got to this point. I thought it'd be in 100 years, not in my lifetime. So I don't have any other choice. I want to believe in God and stick with it. That's where I'm, what I'm doing.
Yes. That's a good place to be.
Mm-hmm.
Alice, what comes to your mind and heart?
For me, it's when they talk about God being the source of hope.
Yes.
No matter how bad things get, if you have hope, you can get through it. When you lose your hope or faith, that's when you're truly lost.
Yes.
If you rely on God and have faith in God, you'll always have hope.
Amen. I was listening to, and this is my personal reflection, I was listening to the news stories and parents protesting about their children wearing masks. And I was thinking about parenting and listening to the different parents, and some parents were okay, and one particular father just stood out to me as very calm, and he said, "Well, I told my children we have to wear masks right now, but this will not last forever. But let's just do what we need to do to navigate this." This virus, but he was just really calm when he was talking about it. And then they showed another parent, a mother, and she was literally screaming. And my thought was, the children are going to respond to how the parents respond. And so when you're talking to children, They're big, and they may say something that's funny or sounds like an adult. Children reflect the parents. And my thought in that moment, when they put those two parents together in the story, was like, wow, the mother could navigate this differently with their children. And is she escalating their anxiety? It's my reflection point, right? And how we influence each other, knowingly and unknowingly. And when they talk to children, you can hear their parents' voices, and you know that they're reflecting their parents. And it's, parenting is so important. and especially right now, to help the children navigate this time. And so many people, I just see too many people not recognizing that I have to help my child or children navigate this in a healthy way. And that's really for all of us in different aspects of our lives. We are influencers, knowingly and unknowingly. People are watching us. We have called ourselves people of faith. And many of us, or all of the people in our lives, in our circle or circles, may know us as people of faith. And so they're watching us, and we are an influencer. And even if we don't realize however small or however large your circle or circles may be, we are influencers. So as an influencer, how have you been doing the last, as Kathy said, the last 2 years? It sounds so long, right? Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So as an influencer in your circle or circles, how have you been doing?
I don't think of myself personally as an influencer, but mm-hmm. at work, yeah, we have rules that we have to follow for COVID.
Yes.
And nobody complains about them, at least not to me anyway, but so, I mean, whenever we go out of our office, we have to wear a mask.
Yes.
And for a couple of weeks, they had us working from home again, which everybody loved. We were like, come back.
Yes.
But I disagree respectfully with Kathy. I think things are better than they were 2 years ago. Because 2 years ago, there was a shortage of masks. There was a shortage of gloves. There were shortages of everything, hand sanitizer, toilet paper. We didn't have enough vaccine or ways to distribute the vaccine. So now we have more of those things. And people know how they can keep themselves safe. I mean, there's no guarantees 100%, but.
You know, so we did. He did say it was the summer of 2020. So that's at the beginning, right? That's at the beginning mm-hmm, of the pandemic. Yeah.
I remember.
Go ahead.
My vaccination in January.
Yes.
And I felt guilty because I got it because I worked at the medical examiner, but not everybody else could get it. My husband, Deirdre, couldn't get it yet.
Yes. And I was able to
do all the shopping.
I was able to get it early because I was working at the college. So yeah, I was able to.
Yeah.
So Kathy, you made the statement that it's worse. But what were you thinking in that?
Well,
moment?
Because it's that plus, it's all the environmental things that are happening.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't just pandemic here. There are outside fears, fires and earthquakes, depending where you live. On top of that's what I was getting at, and not so much, as supplies. I guess I wasn't really thinking that, or vaccine, that part of it. The vaccines are coming out every week, different ones, or companies are trying to pass it. So that makes me wonder, well, which one's the best now?
Uh-huh.
But anyhow, getting past that, I feel that it is worse now because the countries are fighting. We know about it. The earthquakes, the floods, the fires are persistent. It's like how it's to me, it's almost like watching one of those movies about things will happen in the future, not in my lifetime. And it's shocking. I could deal with one thing at a time, but when you're faced with all these things, And yeah, those people that with the mask for their children, I see them at the school, the little ones, and yes. they're so cute. They run out, and most of them keep them on. They don't even know to take them off. And yes. they have little emergency ones that if they get it wet, sneeze and coughing or whatever, yes. they can switch them at school. And the teachers are trying to get them outside if it's 33 degrees or above, you know, so they get fresh air and they can take their mask off. And so the schools are doing the best they can. And, you know, I haven't heard the parents there because I'm just doing pick up or drop off.
Okay.
I'm not at the PTA. So, no, I just think it's a conglomeration of worldwide things that weren't happening in 2020 that we knew about so much.
Yeah. So a lot of things are happening in addition to the, in addition to the pandemic.
Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. To me, I mean, not to me, but they're making me aware of it.
Okay. That's good. That's good. Let's look at the question for tonight. In addition to what we just talked about on page 40, it says, God promises not to make our lives easy or perfectly safe, but to be with us when we face challenges. In a world that seems increasingly violent, how do you find assurance of God's continuous presence? As you think about it, one word comes to my mind. So can I share the one word with you?
Sure.
Go ahead.
Believe. Believe. Faith. I'll take Alice's word. Hope. But belief.
Is it belief you're saying or relief?
B, believe, believe.
Oh, okay.
B-E-L-I-E-V-E. I think I spelled it right. Believe.
Well, even relief, when you're praying and your hope and all that, it gives you that relief in a situation. Like, that's where the peace can come in.
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
you've turned it over to God and you prayed and praying for situation. And I think you get relief when you can see, you know, that he's working in a situation and or working in your life. Not so much the situation all the time, but in your life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for me, it's relief too, not just the belief.
And it takes me back to Bonhoeffer, his prayer and his demeanor and where he believed. He believed God. He trusted God.
Mm-hmm.
So he was able to face the end of his life. I think, as it said, with courage and strength. Oh, to live our lives that when we face something that like a pandemic, and people are dying around us, and some it may have impacted families and friends, loved ones, colleagues. We can still just be strong in the midst of everything that's going on. And it goes back to my R word, relationship. It really is about a relationship. What comes to your mind and heart, Linda?
Oh boy. Well, sometimes when things are challenging,
mm-hmm.
Sometimes I have to reflect on the good things that have happened in my lifetime. You know, not to go on to the negative all the time, because I think if you do that, you get into a position where it's hard to get out of.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with the Bible studies and church and staying involved,
yes,
really does help.
Helping others. Helping others. Yeah.
You just can't keep on thinking negative when something happens. If you have to go to the Bible and read, or just go into prayer.
Yes.
And of course, first, what we should do is thank God first.
Yes.
And then, you know, bring to Him what is on our heart and what we're feeling. And it does help. It does help. Maybe, you know, it won't resolve everything right away. We know that, but it's going to help us get through it.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can, how we feel, it might help the others that are around there that are facing the same thing.
Yes. Thank you. Alice?
I was thinking about how when bad things happen, how afterwards people come together to help that it happened too. And that, you know, you have that sense of community and helping each other and put aside your differences. And I was also thinking about that police officer, that one of them that was shot and died, and how they said he was 3 times a hero.
Yeah.
One for to become a police officer, 2 because he gave his life, and 3 because he donated his organs to help save others.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just thinking that, yeah, even when bad things happen, sometimes good things happen afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
To try and make.
So let me ask you a question, just to tap into your reflection. I always think about you because you know, early on we began to talk about when bad things happen. You know, how do we what's the theology around that? How do we understand that? So I always think about you when we get to these types of questions. So based on what you just said, so we see people coming together after something happens, you know, a catastrophe, a flood, earthquake, fires, killings, shootings, in Baltimore, 3 firefighters, perished in a fire, last week. The building collapsed on them. And 3 firefighters, I believe all 3 passed. I know two passed. One was fighting for his life, but I think all 3 passed last week. And so the city is mourning over the firefighters. And I have firefighters in my family, but those are sort of, you know, short-term things. Things just happen and people come together. What do you see when something happens like a pandemic and it keeps going on and on and on? And I just saw a news alert. We got another variant in the country. Lord have mercy. This thing has gone on 2 years. What do you see?
I think one of the reasons it has gone on so long is because of, instead of coming together as a country and fighting it, we were divided.
Mm.
Some don't believe in masks, some don't believe in the vaccine, some say everybody should do it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't work together. I think that's why it's lasting so long.
Mm.
To come together and really fight it. And like they said, it might end up being like the flu, where you have to get a different vaccine every year because the flu keeps mutating too.
Yes.
That's why there's different flu shots. But, you know, you do what you have to do to keep yourself safe and your family and your community safe.
Interesting. Any other thoughts about that, class? The public narrative, yeah, I agree with you. The public narrative is all over the place. It's so unfortunate that we did not have a strong narrative so people could listen, be informed, make a decision. And I think social media adds to our narrative, and so people are saying, everyone's saying something. And we used to really have vetted sources, that people want to vetted sources, and now you don't really trust what we used to call vetted sources. So we're in a time mm-hmm. now. It makes it hard to have a straightforward narrative. So for us to come together in the coming days, in the future, it's going to be a challenge. Going to be a challenge for us with anything, so we have to navigate that and pray about it and see what happens. Social media has really impacted our communication as well. Yeah. Kathy, did you want to say something?
I was agreeing.
Okay. You lit up, so I wanted to give you a moment.
But I wanted to tell you, I looked up that Bonhoeffer, and yes. He was a handsome man.
Yes.
He really was. And one of his quotes was, "Judging others makes us blind, whereas love is illuminating." And I thought, wow, that's, you know... some quote. I mean, he had a lot of quotes, obviously,
yes.
That one caught my eye.
We study him.
Not to change the subject.
We study him in seminary. So his life.
Oh, you do?
Even the length of his life, he made an impact.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. And then you wonder, why did God take him? You know, that's what I used to wonder, like if it was a young person or... You know, somebody that reached out to others. Why did you take them?
Mm-hmm.
You know. And then I have a friend. She's almost 90. She goes, "When is God going to take me?" She said, "I want to die." Mm-hmm. Now that's not that D. That's another lady from my church back home, and her husband had passed away, and now she doesn't want to live.
Yes.
And they were a good Christian family. And she goes, "I want to die." Every time she meets somebody in church, she said, "Well, I want to die."
Wow.
And then some of them are thinking, "Well, go ahead."
Wow.
You know, I mean, they didn't mean take your life, but,
right.
You know, we're not holding you back.
Probably if I was in her presence and she said that to me, I probably would ask her why she wants to die. Is it just because she feels like she's lived long enough, or is she unhappy? Something going on in her life that's making her unhappy.
A hard life when she was young, but when she married, he turned to Christianity, and between the two of them, I mean, they've really built up that community and the church and.
Yes.
Loving people. I mean, and now that he's gone, she's on a ranch.
Okay.
And she's a big family, but she's sad without him, I guess.
So
but
that,
she wants
that
to
be
with
it.
God, not yes. just leave people behind. She wants to be there in heaven.
Yes.
You know, she's not going to kill herself, but
so
she
probably
wants to be
she's
with
lonely.
Him.
She's probably lonely.
Right.
And she probably wants to be with him. Right.
I think that's some of it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So prayerfully, she has someone in or people in her life who are listening to her. So because for her to say that, I hope someone's listening.
They are. Her son's
okay.
a minister, lives
okay.
on the property. I mean, she has a big family that loves
yes.
her and
okay.
friends. But it's something she's ready to go, is I guess how to put it. And
because I was walking, and I think I shared this on Tuesday, I was walking down the street and there were
the young people, they got out of school early, and so they, the teenagers walking down the street, and one of them, they probably looked like they were between 14 to 16, and young men, and one shoe came off, and he stopped, put his shoe back on. They laughed, and when they laughed, he said, "I want to kill myself." And,
oh my God!
And that grieved me, because they're in front of me, right, walking, and they laughed, and then another one said, "Yeah, kill yourself." And I said, "I'm not going to just hear this and not say a word." So I said in my preacher voice, because I wanted him to remember this voice. I said, "Don't kill yourself." And he turned around and looked at me, and he heard me. And I said, "Okay, he heard." You know, we say things in just, and we don't pick up on things. And for him to say that, so it caught my attention. And I just in what you're saying and what we're saying tonight, let's listen to each other. Let's just be reminded to listen to each other. Even if they're saying something that just doesn't seem like they would say it and you wouldn't, let me say it differently. Comments that just seem, why is that person saying that? You know, or just listen to the person and you know, an active listener. Just communicate in the way you know how to communicate, that you heard the person. And if you, in that moment, if you're hearing the person, it may open up a moment for the person to open up or share what's going on. And let's just not, you know, not assume everybody's okay, because the pandemic has really challenged everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And let's listen. And if the opportunity presents itself, let them know that you hear them. He heard me. And I pray that voice, this voice, he will hear this voice. Don't do that. All right, one takeaway from tonight. Linda?
Oh, I'm all enthralled in what you're talking about between the three of you.
Yes.
Let's see. Oh.
I know, I just shifted gears, right? We don't have Amanda the same tonight, though. We're right. Missing her.
Well, I just never give up on God.
Yes.
Don't doubt him. Stay faithful.
Yes.
As you said, believe.
Believe.
And that he loves us. You know, there's no guarantees in life. We know that. Yes. There's going to be these ups and downs and things that we're going to be so disappointed in. But we also have to be careful of what we pray for, because maybe what we pray for is not what we need. And God knows that.
Mm-hmm.
And just have to stay faithful and trust.
Amen. Alice?
I was thinking more about what you said about Bonhoeffer.
Yes.
And how even though they could kill his physical body,
mm-hmm.
they couldn't kill his faith or his soul.
No.
Mm-hmm.
So even at the end, he was still praising God and praying to God, and they couldn't take that away from him.
Mm-mm. Oh, to live that focus and center. That's our prayer. that whatever happens or whatever we're facing, that we can live in that space of trust and confidence and hope, as you said. Amen. Kathy?
Well, I have to go back to what Jesus said, that we're going to have trials and tribulations.
Yes.
And it's God's will be done when you pray, even though we do ask for certain things, but it's His will. So we should trust Him that He'll make the right decision for us. And, you know, we can find rest and peace in that.
Amen. And that's the good news. And every opportunity you have, share the good news.
Mm-hmm.
And let's close with our one sentence prayer tonight, found on page 43. Alice, you'll like this prayer.
Okay.
Page 43. We can say this one together. I think we can say it together. Thank you for your sharing tonight. It was wonderful. Let's pray. Oh God.
Teach me always to trust in you.
Teach me always to trust in you.
Amen.
Amen. Now, will we have Zoom on Sunday if the weather's real bad?
Yes, I'll send out a call.
Okay.
I'll do the call right. Tree. And
okay.
We should know probably by Saturday afternoon what we will do.
Right.
So
if it comes.
Yes, we'll see. We may just get rain, but they're calling a nor'easter, so we'll get wind. So it may not be good. Good on Sunday, so we'll see. But we'll make a decision on Saturday.
Good. Okay.
All right. God bless you, and hold on for one moment.